This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Payer Issues podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Sandhya Rao, Chief Medical Officer of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts. Sandhya, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Laura. I really enjoy your podcast.
Before we dive into the questions, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Certainly. I am a primary care physician by training. I actually started my career pre-med more focused on healthcare policy and administration, and actually worked in management consulting before I headed to med school. And then after med school, I moved to Boston to do my clinical training, in large part due to all the payment and delivery innovation that has been happening in Massachusetts. And then after my training, I was really lucky to join the Brigham Mass General System. It's now called MGB, at that time Partners, where I practiced primary care for about 10 years, but spent most of my time working in the field of population health, where I was responsible for working with clinical innovators all over the system to find new ways to deliver care that supported improving outcomes and addressing medical costs, largely in service of a number of alternative payment models that we were involved in, including the Pioneer ACO and the alternative quality contract that Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts actually started. And in that role, I really discovered how influential the payment model is on how care is delivered and the experience of patients. And we were able to do a number of things within primary care, for example, myself and a big team of colleagues, many of which those investments were made because the incentives were aligned through these alternative payment models. And so after about 10 years of it, I felt so inspired by it. I wanted to get closer to where that thinking on payment and policy was happening. So I decided to leave and actually joined a startup called Haven, which was started by Amazon, JP Morgan Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway. So three large self-insured employers who wanted to step back and think broadly about not only payment, but the experience of the people that worked at those companies. And so through that experience, I was able to work on a number of different questions. I spent a lot of time on the question of primary care. How can technology help all types of people engage with primary care, which we know is so important? And I also learned a lot about patient experience and the journeys people take trying to get to healthcare, and how much more complex they were than I really ever saw from being on the inside of the healthcare system. And those were really driven by a lot of wonderful people at Haven who were expert in doing user research and that sort of thing, which was new to me. It was a real eye opener to see that side. I also had never really worked directly with employers. And for me as a physician, to see how much energy and passion employers have for the health experience of the people that work there, I think is, again, something I hadn't seen. And then the other thing at Haven is we were really steeped in technology. A lot of talented people had worked in other industries in technology. And, for me as a physician, I'd worked in the EHR, but this was a whole nother level. So it was a wonderful experience. I did find that a lot of the things I was thinking about, and especially as a provider, I started thinking about how a health plan who may have more local influence over physicians than, say, a single employer, how a health plan could apply these principles and really be able to shape care and respond to the needs that these employers were describing. And that's what prompted me to look in my own backyard, luckily, at this opportunity at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts.
That's fascinating to hear your journey from being a clinician, working in population health, all the way through your time at Haven, and then now with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts. I can imagine there are just so many different ideas and opportunities to, as you mentioned, make the care process better for patients. So I'm wondering, what are your top priorities today, and how do you anticipate they're going to change in the coming year?
Yes, good question. What I would say about the top priorities here at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts, I can think of at least three that I don't think will change over the next year. The first is supporting our members through COVID. I'm really proud of the work that predates me when the pandemic started, where we worked to support primary care physicians financially. We identified the high-risk patients through some algorithms. Then as we progressed, we made sure that virtual care was accessible, that behavioral health was accessible. And now as we're in the vaccine rollout, making sure that every single member who's eligible, as they become eligible, is aware. And then when we find members who have transportation issues, for example, or are homebound, that we work with them to get them the vaccine. The second big area, which I don't think will change in the next year, is working with our providers to address health equity. This is not new for us, but certainly in light of the pandemic has become a more intense focus. And you know, we've had close partnership with providers for many years looking at quality. And in the coming years, we hope to do that with the health equity lens, with the first step being getting accurate data on race amongst our members, which is a major priority. And then the third area, which unfortunately I don't think will change in the next year either, is behavioral health. So we, as we all have seen, there's been a tremendous increase in the demand for behavioral health, including amongst children and adolescents. So we've taken a number of actions to grow capacity in our network, support telebehavioral health, and even provide all of our members with a self-service type program. This journey is not over. You know, despite those actions, we still hear a lot from members about this need and the need across different members within the family. And so I think we'll be working on that for a long time.
Got it. That makes sense. And really thinking, as you mentioned, the core areas of supporting members, whatever they need, as well as the providers, making sure that, you know, they're able to deliver care, addressing health equity and then behavioral health needs. I'm wondering, you know, based on your experience previously with some technology, is there anything that you're seeing being able to be brought to these processes to make improvements, or is that still really in the beginning stages of figuring out how you're going to troubleshoot some of these issues long term?
Well, I think we have seen a tremendous leap in the use of digital and virtual technologies as people were so creative over the last year. You know, overnight practices shifting to not only virtual, but redeploying teams across needs. And so I think that ingenuity is, you know, it's a silver lining of what we all just went through. You know, now it's going to be applied to, you know, some of the more foundational areas of healthcare, such as primary care. I'm extraordinarily biased, but we know when patients have access to great primary care, and primary care in a version that they can engage with can really improve health and improve outcomes. So I'm really inspired by a lot of the innovation happening in virtual advanced primary care. Much of that with behavioral health integrated, I think will be a really powerful way for individuals and families to have whole person health addressed over the coming years.
Fantastic. That makes a lot of sense. Now, what are conversations with members like today?
Yeah, we're hearing at least two big themes right now. One is behavioral health, as I mentioned. So we have members call either on behalf of themselves or a family member. And it is not uncommon that folks don't know, you know, what the next step is, what type of provider, how to find one. You know, it remains a fairly fragmented area of care. And it's a large category. You know, I'm putting a bunch of different, very varied clinical areas in one category. But often their own primary care provider, you know, I was one of these, may not know exactly where to go to find a great therapist for a specific issue. So we do receive a lot of calls. And of course, with everything that's happened over the last year, that those calls are up. So we work hard right now in a really human-driven way to take that information, work with our clinicians, work with our network, and find people care. We're hoping to really advance those processes, you know, anticipating that this need will be with us for some time to come. The other big area we hear about, of course, is the vaccine. So questions about building, you know, about whether people should get the vaccine, but more often where they should get the vaccine. And so we're supporting a lot of that.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And then when you think about providers, you know, are there any themes that keep coming up when you're connecting with them as well?
Oh, yes. I mean, what a year for providers. You know, what I hear when I listen to our providers, there's a lot of strength and purpose after this past year. I think providers, small practices, large systems, all really came together with purpose. And so I hear so much resiliency when I speak to, when I'm speaking to leaders, and pride in their team, but they're also really tired, you know, looking, I wouldn't use the term burnout by any means, but I would say a level of exhaustion from a lot of ups and downs. So, you know, we were fortunate to have a pretty mature, we have a pretty mature alternative payment model here that served as a platform off of which we could advance some payments, and we've been supporting telehealth, but we're in close conversation with providers as they move into, you know, whatever this next stage is called, but with the vaccine rollout, with long haulers, with there are ongoing COVID cases. And so we, you know, we want to make sure we stay really connected to what's happening. But that is one message that I hear is, even as the summer comes, that a lot of providers and staff are looking forward to some well-deserved time to recover.
I can imagine that will be, you know, a really important thing, aspect of their care journey, especially like you mentioned, you know, with the stresses of the past year. Now, what are you excited about in healthcare today, and what makes you nervous?
I think the area that I will always find most exciting about healthcare is delivery innovation. By that, I mean the development of technology, tools, even the addition of new team members, but just generally different approaches that really push care to a model that can deliver the highest quality of care to everyone in a way that's financially sustainable and sustainable for the people delivering it. And, you know, the types of things in that category that make me excited right now are, you know, there are a lot of models moving away from visit-based care to more asynchronous and fluid longitudinal ways to for patients and providers to interact. There are also a lot of team-based models developing that create more capacity for physicians and help them practice at the top of their license. So I think the marriage of team and technology has a lot of potential, and I'm really excited about all that's happening in that area. You know, what makes me nervous, it's a good kind of nervous, is there is a proliferation of solutions in this category, you know, over the last year, year and a half. And that does create some burden for purchasers and plans. And so folks like me or benefits professionals are evaluating a ton of these solutions, and many of them are in very specific areas. And so it's a wonderful problem to have. But you do wonder about the how we'll curate and bring these things together, and also prevent patients from having a number of different types of solutions. But generally, I think that the pace of change, the amount of attention and investment that's going into delivery is really very promising.
That makes a lot of sense. And as you mentioned, it's really, you know, exciting to see those things move forward. Now, before we wrap up our conversation, can you share three trends that are important for healthcare leaders to follow today?
Let's see, three trends. I think one probably comes from my Haven experience, but it's certainly been confirmed by my time in the health plan. And that is, you know, what I mentioned before, that employers are really seeking a better experience for their employees. They're as fed up with the confusion and stress that the system creates as they are with the cost of the system. And so, you know, you do see the emergence of a lot of solutions and interventions that are really focused on simplifying things for employees as they pursue, and, you know, individuals as they pursue health. And I think, you know, that puts a good kind of pressure on us as plans to step up and really work as a trusted ally for members to help them navigate this system. And, you know, to do that really effectively requires a more advanced use of analytics, technologies that consumers can engage with, like digital. And I think over time that will lead us to put some good kind of pressure on providers to also change the way care is delivered, so that it's more simplified for employees and families as they go through the system. And the second big one that comes to mind is an evolution of payer-provider collaboration, which, you know, over the last 10 or 15 years has been focused on payment reform. Now you see this trend towards a quote-unquote pay-vider, which is a term people are using to describe payer-driven delivery innovation. And, you know, I'm very intrigued by a number of, you know, sorts of vertical integration that's happening, plans acquiring providers or having joint ventures and the like, where hopefully what will happen is greater alignment and simplification, again, for all of us patients who are going through the system, so that, you know, people start to feel like things are one. And then the last one, again, I'm very biased as a primary care physician, but, you know, I'll always be really, I will always follow closely what's happening in primary care innovation. And the early years of value-based care certainly created a big renovation of brick-and-mortar primary care, much more team-based now, using data to stratify by risk. And I think now you see that being virtualized, and it's really exciting. And I think we're all hoping to see that more people engage with primary care, and that primary care, which I think is a wonderful job, but is a hard job, but that primary care physicians are continue to be fueled by doing that important job, and that these new practice models will sustain them. But most importantly, engage folks so that they have comprehensive care.
Sandhya, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
My pleasure, Laura. Thanks a lot.
Sometimes people need more help, but they're hard to find, reach, treat. OnTrack delivers behavioral health care. We reach the hard to reach, up to 52 weeks of care. That's durable. OnTrack delivers behavioral health care. We reach the hard to reach, up to 52 weeks of care. With a 3x program ROI, members get a return to health. Health plans get a return on investment. Help is here. OnTrack. Better together.